But you know, I was telling Joe, you know, Joe Sodo, which you know, gospel musician, went to Mali school.
You know, this debate has been raging for some time.
Oh, no, but you know that Lenny Akpadi, who was assistant to Tro's house father when I was in Mali school. Yes, he's an old student, so he's actually dropped a new one.
Someone would say, "Is that all you have?"
That's not all we have. You asked one. I'm giving you one.
Okay.
Yes, you asked for one, and then you have one.
I see.
There you have it. Anyway.
Saved by grace, indeed.
Saved by grace. I hope you're doing
He has a song like that, I believe.
Well, I know the apple of his eye. I was in Mali when he dropped Kali Awoko.
I see.
But I know, you know... Most High, Jehovah, you are the Most High. It's the one that people actually remember.
Nobody remembers they're saved by grace, because he's saving you. You know what to accept.
Well, we are saved by grace, actually. But our Drive Safe campaign, brought to us by Joy News and the Multimedia Group, supported by Toyota Superior Quality. So you know what to do. You have to avoid all distractions. Keep both eyes on the road and hands on the steering wheel. Look, it's a Friday. It's a wet morning. So please be careful on the road, okay? Don't be in a hurry. I know you have to get to work, but please and please be careful on the road. I mean, for those of you who are coming from Adenta, Medina, you know, using the Shashi, you know, road from that side, you could see that the rains have actually so taking. I mean, water is taking like say 2/3 of the road. Okay, so you have to be careful when you get there. But also, in case you decide to have fun, it's a Friday. It's Friday. Please don't drink and drive. Okay, it means we can learn how to say it right. And it's brought to us by Kingdom Books at Kingdom. Quality and affordability are their hallmarks. And Societe Generale Bank Ghana, the future is you. And look, Blessed, today there's this word that I want us to learn how to say it.
I hope it's not half.
No. This one.
Oh, half.
This one is F-O-R-E H-E-A-D.
Again.
F-O-R-E H-E-A-D. Give it a try.
Forward.
I can't hear you.
Forward.
Why are you struggling? Go the way you know how it's pronounced, and I'll tell you something.
I'm still struggling
with
this one.
You pronounce it as forehead.
Forehead.
Forehead. Okay. Now, I'm bringing this because somebody asked me whether it is forehead or forehead. Now, the Americans pronounce it as forehead.
Forehead.
The British accept forehead and forehead. So, if you say forehead, you're right. If you say forehead, you're right. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. So that's it. It's one of the few words.
So you have to choose if you want to sound American or British.
No. In this case, we teach people to sound British. But in this case, you can actually sound British by saying both for it
or for it.
And they are both acceptable. Okay. So there
that's
you have
great. I almost felt like an American this morning.
Ah,
but
there you go. Anyway, we can
with
get
your
into
good
the
friend, the visa man, giving us some. So.
Ghana risk visa ban because of a lot of students who are going. You see, years ago when I said there was a survey that asked Ghanaians a question that indicated that 70% of them wanted to leave the country.
Yes.
Somebody actually tweeted that the remaining 30 didn't hear the question properly.
So if you place that question again, they will join.
And people have asked me why you went to study and came back to Ghana. It's because our belief is that out there, there's something better.
Right.
But you see, it's not just a belief. This tells you that Ghanaians want good systems. That's all. All Ghanaians want is a system that works. Give them that system, and they're happy here.
And I agree, because if you look at what's happening elsewhere, some of our compatriots out there, I'm not sure they are even earning as much. They're not millionaires. They're not billionaires. They're out there. But simply because of the fact that you have the systems working, as you're saying, is one of the key reasons why many of them do not want to come back.
Exactly. Look, because if I know that if I leave my house, if I can catch a bus at, say, 7:15, and if I catch that bus at 7:15, I get to my destination at 7:30, I'd be there, and I'll get there at 7:30. But if over here, I do not, I mean, I am not
project,
sure.
Really,
I'm not sure when I'm going to get there. Then there's a problem. Okay, if I know that a system thinks about me, if I know that a healthcare delivery system is such that if anything happens to me, I have a 70 to 90% chance
of survival.
I'd be there. But of course, the other aspect is that whatever it is that you wish for, you stay in your country to build it. Let's get into the newspaper review brought to us by Syntest Tanker, you're stronger, you're tough, and Access Bank. Access Bank, more than banking, and Kale Charcoal Toothpaste, happy smile. No, let's start with the Daily Guide.
The Daily Guide is also here. Daily Guide, the Edubuahin case is out again. AG Edubuahin clash over national security accounts. Front page of the Daily Guide. Lead Africa's AI revolution. That's according to Dr. Brian Achampong, who is lacing his boots to be the next presidential candidate for the New Patriotic Party. So he's been charging the youth base of the party and beyond, trying to do some lectures here and there. The lectures we were used to back in 2015-2016 was that of Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, but it appears Dr. Brian Achampong is also taking over the space now.
Yes,
with lectures on AI.
No, if you're Brian Achampong, whose expertise is IT and security and intelligence,
you want to flex your muscles.
You want to show that, this is what I can do.
Yeah, and tell the Mr. Digitalization that I know how to do it better.
If you are Brian Achampong and you're going into an election,
why are you not responding to that one?
I'm responding this way. You don't worry. I'm responding this way. If you are Brian Achampong, you're going into an election where one is taxed as Mr. Digitalization.
I see.
Or Dr. Digital.
And who is that person, by the way?
We know him. Bad man. And then you're facing another person who's believed to be a no-nonsense person.
Yeah.
A disciplinarian, everything. What you must do, one, if you have a security background, intelligence background, if you have IT background, you'd have to position yourself that when it comes to digitalization, you can trust me. I understand this field very well. Of course, when it comes to being disciplined, you know me. I've served in various capacities, and I know this field also. So, in effect, all the two things that these people are promising you can be found in one man, and that one man will be Brian Achampong. So that's why you want to have these lectures, because also the feeling is that a lot of young ones are going to decide who becomes the next president.
Indeed.
You know, we have a very youthful population in this country, and so that's why you have to speak to them.
In fact, they were the deciding factor in the last elections, and if you're looking at the projections, definitely the youth cannot be ignored, and it's quite great that he's been targeting the youth ever since he declared his intention. You know, even the style with which he had to declare his intention, he did that by speaking to the youth, you know, in a youthful way, at some point using, you know, terms, the Gen Z terminologies that you'd want to get in his opening remarks. So we wait to see what the race will be for the end. Sammy says Dr. Champion big guy rough. Let's document our cultural practices. King Swati the Third has been speaking. I believe he's rounding off his tour or in the Ashanti region. Yoko picks up former buffer stock boss, and it comes to the picture of Abdul Wahab. Government is introducing new holidays for our Muslim brothers. In fact, when we hear that, we all by association become Muslims. So we love it when you add the days, but now it appears there's a nuanced arrangement where now the weekday holidays would now be shifted to the weekends. So that's the new arrangement.
I am not sure if the weekday holidays would affect Christmas and Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha.
Please don't go there.
No, I said I'm not sure. Because, if
as Christmas, for that one, it's not negotiable.
Yes, if Christmas is on, Tuesday, you cannot say that you're moving into Friday. Because it's that on that Tuesday that people will go to church.
And I'm saying wisdom, as for that one, it's not negotiable.
Yes, if the Eid is on this thing. So I understand, but I'm just saying that, by way of clarity.
Yeah.
As a believer in of fairness, I think that is only fair if we have Christmas and Boxing Day as holidays, mm-hmm. it's fair that there's another day after Eid al-Fitr. If we have Good Friday and Easter Sunday, then it becomes Easter Monday.
Right. It's only fair. You want an additional day.
It's only fair.
But are we not getting too many days?
I do not think that you need to have Christmas Day and Boxing Day as holidays. I do not think so.
So we treat it as a normal day? Or?
After Christmas, go to work. After Christmas, go to work.
But you can imagine the challenge there. You know?
After Christmas, go to work.
Oh, well. Then what do you do afterwards?
After Christmas, you go to work. Why? You've celebrated Christmas.
Yes.
Then you go into Easter, Friday.
Yes.
Monday. Mm. Why? But if you want to do that, then as a matter of fairness, give our Muslim brothers same. It's as simple as that.
I guess government promised an extra day for our Muslim brothers.
It has actually. It's been given after Eid al-Fitr.
Yes. So mm-hmm. now there's some level of parity, but obviously they would ask for more. We would equally ask for more. And around the world, when it comes to Christmas and Easter, you know, it's religion blind. You there are seasons that, of course, you find both our Muslim brothers enjoying and Christian brothers also enjoying, similar to their celebrations as well. In fact, we always are on the lookout for their meats and their chicken and whatever it is.
Let me get Winston, to the daily graphic. If I don't stop you now, I know where this will end
us. Yes, we know. Let's say good morning to all our friends who've been supporting us.
Say good morning to the woman that you have been buying jollof from. But let me get into the daily graphic. One day I'll tell people your combination at Antigen.
I see.
The daily graphic this morning says government to crack down illicit trafficking networks. That's the Vice President, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Adjumann, assuring the nation. And guess what? Paper shortage.
Yeah.
Hits birth and death registry.
For quite some time now, they've been unable to issue the sets. I understand.
Let me just share this with you.
Yeah,
the birth and death registry is short of special security paper used for printing birth certificates, leaving applicants frustrated. Amid the anxiety created by the law, the registry has attributed the nationwide shortage of extra to bureaucratic bottlenecks in the public procurement system. There you go. Now, the project director of the registry, Emmanuel Norte Buchi, told the Daily Graphic in an interview that there had been general delays in restocking of essential materials for nearly 2 months. Mm. And he said the registry submitted a request for the special paper to the Controller and Accountant General about 2 months ago, but the process required for approval and delivery had been slow, resulting in the disruption of the service.
It's been a long-standing issue. When it came up in the newsroom, some colleagues were asking, I mean, if you're printing just a birth cert, it should be on paper. And now we have a digitized system. So even if you don't have the paper, you could issue people with an e-birth certificate so they can, you know, use. But they've totally grinded their activities to a halt. And Winston, if you're looking for a new one for someone, it will be a challenge.
I don't know where my birth certificate is actually.
Yeah.
But that's
after a problem. All, it will not prove if you're a Ghanaian or.
No, it
or
doesn't. Anyway, Zoom Lion extends waste management solutions to Burkina Faso. National framework required for AI adoption. That's Brian Achampong. The back page, invest to protect vulnerable communities from climate impacts and stakeholders, discuss Interreg MAC projects in Accra.
The custodian is here. Tokunbo exposes enemies of rule of law, still reeling under that press conference by the embattled Chief Justice. President John Ajekum Kufuor has also been speaking. He's warning the New Patriotic Party against religious and tribal bigotry. He seems to be concerned about how, you know, the presidential race is being, people are stoking this religious and tribal, debates within the party. Now, Zoom Lion expands management expertise to Burkina Faso, comes with a picture of Jospon himself, Dr. Joseph Siao, dressed up in the full Burkinabe regalia, as you'd want to call it.
Oh, okay.
And that's a good one, posing with some other officials of Burkina Faso. Now, GJA elections, Dunfo outlines five-pillar agenda for second term, and veteran journalist Ebo Kwanza passes on.
Oh, sad, yes.
Very sad.
Sad one there. Okay, let's get into more papers.
We have the Daily Analyst as well. This COVID case at UG is still trending, and many are even worried about the safety of our students. But Ghana Health Service confirms COVID-19 uptick at the University of Ghana is on the Daily Analyst. In fact, the school is giving further directives that there'll be social distancing, no social event for now. These are some of the immediate measures being put in place to check that. TVET governing councils will ensure guidelines are followed, and gender ministry calls for a united front in the fight against human trafficking. Echo Vincent SFY is back in the news. He's petitioning President John Dramani Mahama over what he says is the desecration of Independence Square by some pro-LGBT individuals. In fact, the proponents, Sam George and the others, have also been writing about the pictures that have since gone viral on social media. So we wait to see if there'll be a reintroduction. I don't know if the bill will be brought back to the
floor. It has to be brought back.
Yeah, indeed. That's why, of course.
If anything, it has to be brought back.
That is being
But the Business and Financial Times, we need a national skills plan for AI transition. That's Brian Echampong.
Yeah.
Soaring debt linked to flawed tax system. And guess who's speaking? Seth Tekpe.
I see.
A former finance minister.
He's out with a new book, I believe.
Yes, on VAT in Africa. Yeah. Let me say good morning to Honorable Seth Tekpe. I need to get my copy of that book. I need one. So Honorable Tekpe, I'll get in touch.
In fact, these are some of the things we love to see, that people who are experienced and vexed in these areas will put out the book so that it informs our development. I'm looking forward to one from the Speaker of Parliament. I don't know if you're also on the lookout for one from him, because he's been in Parliament for long. No book as of now.
And he's been in Parliament since the beginning of the Fourth Republic. And I say he's been in Parliament because, you know, he was MP for 7 terms and his speaker in the second term. So he's been there throughout. So it'll be important to hear from him.
Yeah, he should write something.
IEA questions government's plans of extending tallow oil's production license to 2040. Not all plastics to be outlawed. As EPA, as it clarifies scope of imminent ban. Let's see the back page of the Business and Financial Times. Africa's biggest women's football showdown is here. And Perception Management International crown champions of 2025 GMA Group CEOs Cup.
The Citizen. The Citizen is speaking about the speaker himself. Can Asiedu Nketiah and Bagbin ticket work? That's a question to you, Winston. Big question on the front page of the Citizen.
you want me to answer that?
That'll be because Asiedu Nketiah says he's not ruling out the possibility that he will
contest. He will contest.
Oh, you know that for a fact.
He will.
Oh, interesting.
He will. He will contest. But you know, politicians wouldn't. I mean, they're always not. Forthcoming.
He says in every political party, when you join, the ultimate aim is for you to become a president. So if you ask him to be one, he's not ruling that out.
He will contest. And he's a very popular figure in the NDC.
Yeah.
So far, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah has never lost any position that he's contested in the NDC. It used to be him and Samuel Ofosu Ampofu.
Yeah.
Then he beat Samuel Ofosu Ampofu. So we'll see if he can, win the NDC's flag bearership position. I know that Chief of Staff Julius Debra also wants to be president.
We're going into a dangerous zone now.
These things are known. I don't know why people, would shy away from, run away from. These things are known.
Yeah.
Okay, these things are known. And when Akufo-Addo actually delivered his first State of the Nation address, he said to Haruna Idrisu, he said, "Oh, young man, minority to Haruna Idrisu, who has a future, an important role to play in Ghana's political future."
Yeah.
And Haruna Idrisu has not run away from the fact that he's eyeing the ultimate, the presidency. I do not know whether he's going to contest this
next one,
the next one, or he'll
or
wait.
The one after.
because sometimes a lot of dynamics will come to play in an election. But let's get into the online news review. Have you done a citizen?
I was just going to do the publisher, or maybe let me do the Daily Gist before we go. The Daily Gist is talking about the NDC agenda out. EC bosses must go. And that's obviously stoked by Johnson Asiedu Nkita himself. Comes to the picture of the East 3 commissioners, Jean Mensah, Dr. Bosman Asare, then you have Sam Otete. He says all these individuals must go. Winston doesn't seem to agree with him on that. Then CJ fights back. It's also on the Daily Gist. And Ghana needs AI, an AI roadmap, says Brian Echampong. So he's now Mr. AI. And we have Mr. Digital as well.
Let's get into the online news review brought to us by Zenith Bank. Zenith Bank, in your best interest.
And at Zenith Bank, we understand that sometimes the month feels a little longer than usual. And that's why we're here to ease your financial burdens. Apply for the Easy Cash Now, an easy loan solution from Zenith Bank for Momo MTN Momo subscribers. Now, it's secure, convenient, instant, and also collateral free. Yes, a loan with no collateral at all. So with Easy Loan, you can just take care of all your financial needs and emergencies with total peace of mind. All you need to do is to dial *170#, just as you do the MTN Momo options. Hit option 5 for financial services, choose option 3 for loans, and finally opt in for option 6 for the Easy Cash. Easy Cash, your easy loan in 60 seconds, and it's brought to you by Zenith Bank. Apply today. Zenith Bank is working in your best interest.
Okay, let's see what's on myjournaline.com this morning.
So the controversial dismissal is up again. Recalled BOG staff to be put on extended probation. So following the dismissal of some workers at the Bank of Ghana, they've been recalled based on, the concerns that have been raised. But we're not sure if everyone will be back into the system. We wait to see what the outcome will be. John Dramani Mahama is declaring Friday, July 4, as public holiday for Republic Day observance. The foreign minister has also been speaking, and Winston, that's also a big one, that Ghana risks the U.S. visa sanctions over high student overstay rates. So many people are not coming back, and our big man is up there in the U.S. listing more people, more of our compatriots who will be deported soon. I'm talking about U.S. President Donald Trump, because 188 Ghanaians are facing deportation. That's also been disclosed by the foreign minister, Samuel Kujetua Blakwa. Minorities demanding PRC justifies the 2.45% tariff hike amid declining economic indicators. That's what we all don't seem to understand. Kujo was raising that yesterday, Winston, you recall, about why all the factors are going down. And the legacy debt of $488 million appears to be what is drawing us down. So Ghanaians are really, really worried about that. Tax expert Professor Lee Nacha questions tax-free lavish gifts received by pastors. And that's an area we need to be looking at. But Winston, I didn't know Dr. Lee is now a professor.
Oh, he is.
Congratulations to him as well on that. And I will marshal every effort to answer my removal process. That's according to the embattled Chief Justice Gertrude Torkonu.
Great, which means let's get into, let's see.
Yeah, I think we can do City Newsroom. Probably, yes, City before we go. City is also talking about the U.S. Consul speaking, because he's been outlining some stricter student visa checks to ensure safety and eligibility. I believe it's in line with the conversation that we had a couple of days ago on why there are overstays and people who are still seeking to get into the U.S. System. But there's also the story here about the 24-hour economy, because that's big on the City Newsroom Online. Bagwin to implement 24-hour economy policy within Parliament. So maybe we might see, possibly, I don't know if it's for a fact, but our MPs working 24/7.
Parliament. Well, I'd love to know how he intends to do that. But let's get into the BBC News. And the BBC News is brought to us by Fidelity Bank. Fidelity Bank, believe with her. You know, over 100. Over 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Of, its staff members. Now, what we are hearing is that they've actually decided to recall these persons and give them extended probation. Why
What do the analysts make of this? Martin Pibu is a private legal practitioner, and he's joined us on phone. We're also expecting Franklin Cujo to join us. Martin, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, good morning. How about you, sir?
I hope you're doing very well this morning. Now,
yes.
So when that happened, these persons were told had their contracts terminated because they were on probation.
Yeah.
Now, the Bank of Ghana says, okay, our laws permit us to re-engage persons whose contract we terminate, provided their skill sets are still needed. And so these persons have been recalled and giving an extended probation. Really, Martin, from where you sit, is this Bank of Ghana just giving them an extended probation, or is just because of the pressure from the populace forcing them into a 180-degree change?
I would say that on the balance, it's largely as a result of the Bank of Ghana's magnanimity. Because you know that the political pressure only lasts for so long, and then it goes. So notwithstanding, or let's say, even though I heard the, you know, minority grant a press conference, etc., right? It has its own limitations. It's not as if in parliament, if the governor went there, they have enough numbers to, you know, cause his dismissal or any substantial damage. So on the balance, it shows that the governor is a listening governor, okay? He's more humane than they were in previous times. You know, I'm not seeking to equalize, but I know this thing didn't start today. It's always been there. It's always been there. And you know, because our systems are weak, even if there is evidence, you are not likely to get it to prove that the Bank of Ghana did anything wrong. Because from the bank's own response, they said these persons didn't pass a rigorous assessment.
Yeah, so Martin, if they didn't pass the rigorous assessment, why re-engage them?
Yeah, so give them a second chance. And I'm in favor of a second chance, because if these persons pass their various degrees, etc., then it tells you that maybe something went wrong during the assessment. Perhaps they didn't understand. And you know, understanding the whole context and questions is very important. So the key thing is that once they got their qualifications from their various universities, etc., an assessment to enter a bank cannot be more difficult generally. Because I don't think after appointing them, that's when they are now going to do difficult aptitude tests, right? Uh-huh. So on the balance, I will go with the bank that is very humane. It's humane. It's good. It's commendable.
What if, for instance, the bank terminated their contracts solely on political reasons and had nothing to do with their performance? Would you still say they've been humane?
So we are answering hypothetically, right? But not that this is what really happened. Yes, if they did, I would even say double humane. Because, Winston, look, let me tell you that. It's even good you've spoken with me. I'll give you a few details. Okay, not all. Look, let me tell you, just for standing up against the bad governance of President Akufo-Addo, right? Because this state institution is quite close to Bank of Ghana. Just for my comments alone, when they saw a client wanted to hire my services, all right, in terms of a contract I was executing, they told their client that this guy is NDC, remove his name, a lawyer.
Which institution is that, Martin?
Oh, that's what I said. It's okay. I don't want to muddy the waters. But at least it's good that we mention so that you see. It's right. Me. It's good.
You mean an institution was warned against dealing with you?
Yes. Yeah, they said remove his name. And the client had to remove my name. I'm telling you. That's why I said I don't need to mention the name so that the thing will escalate and, you know, no. Make me center of additional attention. But I'm telling you that this thing runs deep. They said remove his name and told the contractor that we've been telling you are NDC. You deny it. You see, today you've brought your brother an NDC lawyer. That's what they said. And I'm telling that, place emphasis on the point that that institution is close to the Bank of Ghana. That's where I want you to look.
Hold on one minute for me, because Franklin Cudjoe has joined the conversation now, president of Imani. And Franklin Cudjoe, one of those who took to social media to actually say, why would such a thing be done? Franklin, well, now we hear that has been reversed. I'm sure that should bring you a lot of joy that over 100 Ghanaians get back to work, right?
Oh, good morning, Winston. Good morning, respective life people. Well, ordinarily, we shouldn't be really rejoicing over what I call these rather, I don't want to use a negative adjective, but I feel it's a bit too inquisitorial. And, you know, once you don't carry the public along as to why these things were terminated, these persons were terminated, and it begins to sound as though it's some sort of there's some high-handedness. But, you know, I have to be honest with you. I totally respect the current governor. To think that he was dealt with in the similar circumstances, I doff my hat to him, really. I mean, I can understand that, well, we need to offer reprieve. But this should not be happening. If indeed these persons were correctly recruited and then also and later appointed. Having said this, though, I must make the point quickly that, you know, politicians have different shades of politicians are from the same mother. I mean, to think that this happened in 2017. To a number of previous appointees of the current administration, tells you that it's a cyclical thing that we need to stop. I don't think it helps us at all. I'm aware, deeply aware, having made this post public, by the way, I'm deeply aware that some institutions, there are all kinds of high-handedness in putting persons, recruiting persons, not necessarily the date, but even the kinds of people that were eventually recruited into the service. I don't want to mention certain names, but I'm reliably informed and I have strict evidence to show that some of these persons who were appointed and recruited were below par. Mm. Yeah, just dumped them, all of them there. An administration that was in its twilight days shouldn't be doing such things. So, look, I can't say that we shouldn't thank the current bulk leadership. But at the same time, I'm asking myself, when will this stop? I think it will stop when we know publicly how recruitments are done into public service, and indeed how persons are, and even the perks they receive. And we must also tap a path which includes a productivity list. We should know exactly what these people are performing. Because, truth be told, some of them are also probably, how do I put the word? They could actually be redundant, especially meaning that they don't really have jobs to be doing at certain institutions, right? So they are overstaffed. I know of Ghana Gas. How can an institution like that have close to 1,200? Why? Are they also producing gas themselves? You know, biggest belief, really. So we see all these innumerable, you know, high-handed political appointments or recruitments, which are quite nauseating. And I think we should also address that. Otherwise, the only way we can stem the tide is to make public. We should know all these things. It shouldn't be some people have gone to speak to somebody, and then all of a sudden these things people are recruited and all that. It's completely, unbecoming of a so-called civilized republic.
Great, but I mean, Franklin, making the point that some people were below par. If a person is below par, why should that person be maintained in the job that he or she is unqualified for?
Exactly. So, tell us. You see, you carry the public along. I mean, clearly speaking, if some people, unless, of course, you have some oath of secrecy or whatever you don't want to let people know. But look, if I have my back against the wall and there are people are pressurizing me that, oh, these persons were legitimately recruited and appointed, why not? Put it out. Put your CVs out. put their the process of recruitment, put it out. I mean, other countries do it. Singapore, other African countries, Botswana, they do it. My friend Bugulu, when she was recently, I think when she was appointed, she saw several portfolios in the Botswana government. All these things are published and we get to know. So let us know exactly what's happening. It's the same thing with the Chief Justice. Why should we have the president appointed and then somebody crying foul that they are trying to remove her? Let the process be open. Let's have open, recruitment process. In Kenya, that's what is done. They narrow down. It's a live broadcast of the interview of the potential CJ, even before the president. So they just hand over whoever tops the list to the president. And the president just appoint. That's all. Until we do these things openly, the question you're asking will be difficult to answer. How do we know that these persons are sharper? Yeah, we should have them there. We should have the records there. I mean, that's the only way. After all, it's our public money. So anybody suggesting otherwise, I really would not agree. Mm. Let us stem the tide off. Let us ask ourselves, what is the optimal capacity of a particular of these institutions? How many people should work at the Bank of Ghana? How many people should work at Ghana Gas? How many people should work at the GI? You know, we need to know these things. Once we have these benchmarks, all these unnecessary deviations and the distractions will cease.
If I get you clearly, Franklin, what you're saying is that it should be possible for us to know the ceiling of all state institutions when it comes to number of employees. So that no government comes in and then decides to pack these institutions.
Yeah, I mean, look, my good friend Ken did something similar to the Minister of Finance, brought in all kinds of people, almost like the para recruitment agency. This is just not on, you know. So why not sacking the people who are working? They actually made them just return that. They brought other people. You can't run a country like that. I mean, everybody lives at the expense of the state. What is this? And people want more state involvement in our lives. It's quite nauseating, really, to tell you the truth. I think the best way, as I suggest, and I'm sure other people will back me, let us ask ourselves, what is the optimum capacity? I mean, Joy, don't you do that?
Yeah.
Private organizations do that. And we pay taxes to the state. Why should the state be living at the expense and be acting recklessly? I don't understand it. So we should get the state to also pull a particular line. How many people should work here? What are their portfolio? In fact, I think you give me an idea. Maybe Manny and Joy should actually team up to do this. Let's audit all the institutions, exactly who they are, whatever sure. they are doing. And people can choose to take us to court. We'll publish it and say, no. In fact, you have to even give us timelines and productivity schedules. If you have this number of people working, you want to exert this amount of productivity. So that if you don't add value to the bottom line of the economy in one way or the other, well, you don't have to exist. And then we yank you off.
I get you. I mean, that's something we should do. I mean, we'll talk after the show. But
sure,
Martin,
please.
You know, let me just bring you in on this, because we know that people had gone to the, you know, Supreme Court years ago, which actually, so because we're looking at also the partisan interest, had gone to the Supreme Court that had actually ruled that for CEOs, they could not. You know, they didn't have to lose their positions with the coming into office of another government, just like that, unlike the directors, you know, the board members. Unfortunately, that has not happened. The question is, how do we deal with this politically influenced recruitment and terminations of appointments once and for all?
A small clarification on the Supreme Court judgment, and then we come to this one. Mm-hmm. You see, yes, based on the Supreme Court decision that don't move people anyhow, right?
Yeah.
When this government came, it turned out that some of these public institutions, the affected officers, had contracts that had a clause that said that you could be terminated and then given 1 month salary in lieu of notice. Yes, Winston, I'm telling you. Okay. Some of them had those clauses. So that's not a breach of the Supreme Court decision. Mm-hmm. It's what's in your contract. The Supreme Court was simply saying that use due process. So meaning that if the person's contract says it doesn't have a clause that just sack him and give him 1 month notice, then it means don't do it. So if it has a process like Article 146 proceedings, that's removal of like Superior Court justices and CJ, then use it. That's what the Supreme Court was saying. But the Supreme Court didn't mean that if the contract says you can be terminated and given 1 month salary in lieu of notice, they shouldn't do it. No.
Sure.
It just means go by what is stipulated in the contract, rule of law. Okay, good. Now, the second part of your question, how are we going to stop? Now, let me mention that the history of it is several hundreds of years. Remember, there was a man who assassinated a U.S. President because he didn't get a job that the president had promised that when he took office, if he won the elections, he would give him. That's President Garfield. President Garfield was assassinated because a supporter, someone who supported him to win the elections, didn't get a job. So what I say is that to the extent that it's been several hundreds of years in existence, in the U.S., in U.K., Ghana, even in Ghana here, remember the Salah case when Buzia came, removed Apollo 5, over 500 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, etc. We will have to continue talking against it, and then day by day, year by year, we'll be refining ourselves. But Mr. One thing is clear, it can never totally go away. No, that one, it doesn't look like it, based on experience. Because even in the UK, when the Keir Starmer took over, yes, some of the people had to go. Those who were aligned with the previous government, Sunak's government. And often we say the civil service is neutral, etc. That is, it's not true. That's one opinion of it. If you listen to the read the papers of the best, or let me say very high-ranking persons when it comes to civil service, etc. They are partisan. They help a government in power. So when they help a government in power, right, and the next one comes and says, no, what you and the previous government were doing is not aligned with my manifesto, you will go. So when I hear people say, oh, civil service, they are neutral, I'm like, you are joking. You don't even know what you're talking.
But Martin, he can do another thing where he's not so close to your corridors of power. So we know, for instance, that chief directors have been, there's been a reshuffling amongst the chief directors. Nobody's complained because they're still working.
Oh, they'll complain. Maybe they've not been bold enough to come to radio because generally there are no jobs in Ghana. So a wise one knows that, well, as long as I still get, a salary that can feed my family, let me keep quiet. So, but there's a lot of grumbling. So I'm just saying that this, your question was, how are we going to end it?
Yeah.
And I'm saying from the nature of human beings, no, it can't end.
Okay. Thank you very much, Martin Kwebu and Franklin Kujo, for making time to join us this morning. We're grateful to you. Salavie on the Super Morning Show on Joy 99.7 FM.
Here with us. So is Blessed. Fentio.
Yeah.
You know, this morning you came and you made all of us sad.
How did
you've
I do
got
that?
People sending us lots of messages. I mean, can you go through those numbers again?
I'll send them to you. So that you use it as a reminder. Every day, okay,
that what
of how you could have led a different life.
Oh,
you understand?
You know,
on a more serious note, I think that this conversation about feeling sad for ourselves because somebody else is making a fortune out of playing football, so we all want to send our children. No. So that who come and be journalists? Journalism is an instrumental element of our society.
Yes.
Without journalism, without reporting, without keeping people in office in check, how else would you think? Do you think that we can develop a democratic society?
Okay.
So journalism is so we must encourage young people to go to school and go and study journalism and come and be journalists. We need doctors, we need nurses, we need teachers, or else not everybody cannot be a footballer. You understand? Mm. So don't force your son to go and play football because you've seen some outrageous numbers that Cristiano Ronaldo. Money is not everything.
Okay, having said that, let's go through the figures again. Mm. It's very, very important. Because
Pleasant.
No, hold on. I'm just looking at this.
I'm also looking
so
at
first of all, his £3.4 million a week would give him £178 million a year.
Yes.
That's on the side.
That's his salary.
That's his salary for the year.
Yes.
Per month.
So we
a week. You mentioned
the 3.4 million pounds.
Good. That is £880,000 a day.
A day.
Hmm. Wow.
£880,000. I bet do the calculation. Let's multiply that by 14. No, for this purpose of analysis, okay?
A day.
But for BOG figures 14 times 880,000, right?
Yeah, a day.
Okay. So it means he earns 12.32 million
Ghana cedis
a day.
A day.
My goodness. One day.
A day.
Oh.
A day.
Okay.
And then, he spends continue. 2 hours in training in the morning, mm-hmm. 2 hours in the gym, and another 2 hours training in the evening. 6 hours. That is his day.
But apart from that, he will now have 15% ownership of Al Nassr.
Correct. And that has a value.
That is expected to be worth £33 million.
Thank you.
But that's not all. Mm-hmm. He also gets 24.5 million signing bonus.
Uh-huh.
And that will increase if he activates his the second year of his contract to 38 million. So, apart from the 178 million, he also would get 24.5 million pounds, right? Now, anytime he scores a goal, he's expected to get 80,000 pounds. How many goals did he score last season?
Hold on, I can check for you. I'm not exactly sure, but he scored a lot.
Check that one for me. Anytime he provides an assist, he must get 40,000 pounds.
Yes. Assist too.
Assist.
Yes.
If Al Nassr...
Assist keke o.
Yeah.
Just a ball no be born by mistake. Now waste him basha. Or no be 40,000. Oh, waste now washa no.
Then, 8 million pounds bonus. If Al Nassr wins the Saudi Pro League.
Yes.
4 million.
Last season, he's got 25 goals.
25 goals.
For Al Nassr, yes.
For purposes of analysis. For purposes
80,000 times 25.
Yes. You know, so 80,000 times 25. That is 2 million pounds.
Just for the 25 goals alone.
Mm. But what?
Now, hold on. If he scores 25 goals, he can also become top scorer. Golden boot down to give him extra money.
Yeah, so what is he being paid for? He's not being paid to score goals.
Yes.
So why should he be giving a goal bonus?
To score more goals.
My guy. If he wins, he gets additional four. If he wins the golden boot, 4 million pounds.
So for scoring each goal we are 80,000. He scores 25 goals and he becomes top scorer. Then they add additional how much?
Additional 4 million.
For being top scorer.
Yes.
Meanwhile, for each of the goals he scored to become top scorer, he also got 80,000 pounds.
Mm.
Ah, man.
Then if the Al Nassr qualifies for the Asian Champions League and they win it, 6.5 million pounds bonus. Now, he has 16 people working full-time for him. And this includes three drivers, four housekeepers, two chefs, three gardeners, and four security people. 4 million worth of private jet expenses covered by Al Nassr. 60 million pounds worth of sponsorship deals promised by Al Nassr with Saudi company, new Saudi companies and companies in the Asian market. So the club will look for sponsorship for him worth 60 million pounds.
He doesn't have to find the sponsorship with the club, and they'll find the sponsorship in the Asian market where they operate. So they'll find it for him. That's it.
My goodness. This guy's gone.
Winston, are you sad enough?
Well, you know, you make a valid point. You see, I say that success is how you impact society.
Yes.
Meaningfully, positively.
Yes.
And journalism helps us to do that.
Thank you.
So I am happy.
So does medicine. So does teaching. So does nursing.
Yes.
So does engineering.
Exactly.
So does all these other professions. Accounting, banking. They're all essential. I think that as a society, we must move towards a direction where we value people making meaningful contributions, even if those meaningful contributions are not exactly financially rewarding. Throughout history, that's what it's always been, that there are people in industries that are crucial, that are critical to the existence of mankind, but they have never been adequately compensated for it. It doesn't mean that I think we can continue to advocate for decent compensation for people in those industries. However, I think that there is a certain mindset that we must do away with. And that mindset is that, you know, rich people or being rich is the ultimate kingmaker. And
your reward is in heaven.
Yeah, no, you see, no, not even. But I think that we have, over and over again. I actually genuinely think that it's a moral decadence to the point where we only value people who are rich. We're only the rich people to think that anybody else who doesn't have money is not valuable. And we see it in rhetoric every day, whether in the political space, on social media. My friend, do and make money and stop, you know, messing around. I don't want to use the word fooling, but people say that. I say make money and make money. Like, money is not, money is good, but money is not everything. You understand? And as a society, I think we must condition our children, must condition people to understand that having money alone is not the ultimate kingmaker. It's not what makes you a valuable person of society, member of society.
About the deal itself, why are we not paying attention to the Saudis? Is it a strategy for them to build their market?
Yes, obviously. Cristiano, look, on a more serious note, Cristiano Ronaldo is doing, Winston asked the question, like, why is he being paid?
Yes.
He's not just being paid all that money just to score goals. Cristiano Ronaldo is an ambassador for Saudi. You should listen to his interviews all the time. Every opportunity he gets, he's trying to promote Saudi. You understand? He's always talking about how the Saudi Pro League is stronger than leagues like Ligue 1. Every chance Ronaldo gets, and he's leading them obviously also into the World Cup. And Saudi will host the World Cup in 2030. So there are 2034. I beg your pardon. Yeah. So there are massive opportunities for him to try and paint the country in a very, very positive light. So all of those things are part. Some of it are social capital that he carries. Ronaldo has the most followers on Instagram. And think about all the kinds of celebrities that we have in this world. And out of every single person, Cristiano Ronaldo is the most followed person on social media in the history of social media. You get it? More than any superstar in America, more than any superstar in countries like India, who have billions of people.
So if you post one, quick money.
Exactly. In fact, Cristiano Ronaldo reportedly earns around $2 million per post on Instagram.
$2 million?
Yes, to put up a post about any product, any association, to show up on his Instagram. You post your Instagram, your Facebook, you get 2 likes. If Ronaldo posts one, just to post one, reportedly earns around $2 million. So it's a very, very valuable, human resource. You know, the brand is huge. The brand is strong. And Ronaldo is the news. You understand? So unlike people like Messi, he is a very talented footballer, one of the greatest in the world, perhaps by some people's measure, the greatest ever. And some people would even think that he's more, is greater than Ronaldo, whichever way you see it. The point is, the two of them are at a certain pedestal where they will continuously get compared in terms of impact on the pitch. In terms of impact outside of the pitch, Cristiano Ronaldo's impact and his capital is way bigger than Messi's. You understand? It's also because of the way he carries himself. And it helps that he's good looking.
Yeah.
You get it? And has a great work ethic. You know, and those,
well, it's 40 years.
Yes, and those things are exemplary features that people look up to. You look at Cristiano Ronaldo, he is one person that will like to show off his work ethic all the time. He opened a YouTube channel.
His training sessions.
Yes, and he talks about his lifestyle. He sometimes posts about his workout sessions and what have you, the nutrition that and the energy supplements he's taking, what have you. People aspire, even if we cannot be like him, we aspire to be like him. Mm. Messi, on the other hand, doesn't show that aspect of his life as much. Mm. You know, people believe that he's just naturally talented and doesn't work as hard. Exactly.
Oh, he
and
works hard too.
Yes, and doesn't work as hard. Now, when you look at the world, the way the universe is, our society, there are more people that are that can identify with the Cristiano story more than those that can identify with the Messi story. Mm. So you have a lot more people that do not necessarily have the talent and have to work their way to become the best or to even get to where they are. And then there's just a select few who are just naturally gifted. So you can understand why more people will be will have an affinity towards Ronaldo and want to follow him on social media instead of Messi. It doesn't mean, for example, I think that for sure all the people that follow Cristiano Ronaldo, even on social media, all of them also know about Lionel Messi. But they're not following Lionel Messi. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah. So, because, you. Yeah. Yes, you finish your point you're making.
So no, look, yeah, so I'm saying that, you know, it's a classic example of what the power of personal branding. Because, Winston, and your question is what ultimately answers, you know, your own question. Your question answers your own question. Why are they paying him that much money? If you entered into the nitty-gritties, you understand that the money is for the personal brand Cristiano Ronaldo rather than just playing football or scoring.
And he's
goals.
Getting all of that alone? Or maybe...
Maybe
some
what?
Percentages will go somewhere.
No percentages don't go anywhere. What he decides to give his agent, I mean, that's up to him. And even with that, you know, George Mendes, he's just keeping him because he's been with him from the beginning. But at the moment, Ronaldo doesn't need an agent to negotiate a contract. Exactly. But he keeps his circle small, yeah. The people he grew up with, his childhood friends, his agent, all of them are still with him. His partner, he said he's waiting for the click to marry her. He's not married yet. All right. He's not married yet to her, but they've been together for a long time. And he's been asked that question many times. He says he has not got the click yet.
Where would the click come from?
And, Ronaldo said,
where would the click come from? He's like, but you see, I like the fact that we're having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the other point also is that football itself
mm-hmm.
is a game that can raise huge funds.
Mm-hmm.
In the Southern Americas,
mm-hmm.
in Brazil, for instance, Brazilian footballers are paid very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason they can actually decide to keep their talents, their homegrown talents. Go to Argentina, they get paid well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, come to Ghana.
I was very disappointed to see the YEA boss say that he's negotiating
the play abroad
with teams abroad to send Ghanaian players to clubs abroad. I don't understand how it works. Are you okay? I don't know. I don't have details of what he's trying to do,
right.
But we know how players get transferred abroad.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go and negotiate for people to come there. Okay, the clubs do scouting and agents take players to them. Abroad. If the player is not good enough, they will not sign the player. Now, if the player is good enough, you don't need the YEA boss to go and negotiate with the club because the clubs are running a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not charity. It's not a case of wasting. Or Jamaica, we have some five good players. Can you take them? They need players that can come and help them. So if the players are talented enough, they will go abroad, and that has been the practice all this while. I don't know whether maybe he wants to run an agency and have an agent or agents take up some players and try to negotiate contract, good players and try to be fair, there are other talented mm-hmm. players who may not have agents, right? Who may not have access to agents. So maybe that's what he's trying to do. I'm not entirely sure, but...
But there are agents around.
Yeah, there are agents around, but they don't see everybody.
Recently, Sharaf Mahama is one, isn't he?
Yes.
My friend, Sally Adam, is one.
There's so many of them.
My friend...
But they don't see everyone,
Marvin,
though.
Marvin Akuwa Dante is an agent. He can go and see them. They take players outside the country. Do we need YEA to go and do that? YEA?
Why? I think the YBA should rather take an interest in the NDC manifesto promise to pay GPL players. Because the GPL players are the youth. And that would have a bigger impact in terms of employment numbers than the ones he's trying to negotiate and take abroad. If you do 30 players per team, multiply it by 18, that's a lot of numbers, Winston. You are the mass guy. So all of those people being paid by government, as they promised to do, would have a match, and we'll keep that money here, and we'll keep the players here, because the money would be decent. Mm. It will supplement what the clubs are paying them. And I think that the idea is brilliant, because what they want to do is to be able to come up with a partnership strategy with the clubs, that we will pay a part of your player's salary. I'm privy to the details of that manifesto promise, that they want to get into partnership with the clubs and say, we will pay a percentage fee or a fixed figure to your players, but in exchange, when you transfer any player in that period that we start this particular contract, we'll get a percentage back into the coffers.
You see, there are those who have advocated, I think it's Mr. Amorim, who has been advocating that we use a percentage of national lottery to support football development in this country. I think it's something we must consider. And look, when football thrives, I have been to places where, countries where, when there's a football match, my guy, I think I saw the last game that Cardiff City played at Ninian Park. The last season they played at Ninian Park. Now, before they built the Cardiff City Stadium, Ninian Park, which was their home ground, look, all the pubs around that area are filled to capacity when it's time for a football match. So that in itself is a boom in that sector during football matches. Imagine if we had great teams playing in this country and people were running to these stadia. It would be good for us. Even those outside the stadia will get something. Unfortunately, we don't do anything. These days, people go into football not because they want to win trophies. They want to sell players. That's all. Anyway, we'll come back, read more of your messages, but keep them coming. Get on to X, use the hashtag JoySMS, and then on WhatsApp 055-1111-997. But Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited, your number one supplier of quality office essentials, equipment, and furniture at affordable prices, is introduced an online store for your shopping convenience, which means you can now shop by simply logging on to kingdomstoreonline.com.